from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Biden's pre-election speech, a parent's impact on their kids, and hot-button issues on the ballot. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Wednesday of this week, President Biden delivered a speech from Union Station near the Capitol where he continued his drumbeat call that the democracy of our nation was at risk. Joining Tony Perkins to discuss the president's speech is Representative Vicki Hartzler of Missouri.
Congresswoman Hartzler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's good to be here, Tony. Thank you.
First, I want to get your reaction to the president's speech last night. He spoke about dark forces. Who do you think he's referring to?
Well, he's trying to divert attention away from his failed policies that are going to cost Democrats the House of Representatives and probably the Senate as well. He knows he has nothing to run on, so he's trying to grasp at straws and to attack Republicans. Certainly, he's come up with this new catchphrase, MAGA Republicans or ultra MAGA. It's ridiculous, and I don't think the American people are going to buy it.
You know, Vicki, many of your colleagues that have spoken out about that speech last night called it dark, they called it divisive. I think it's dangerous. I think what the president is doing, he's conflating all of these things. He conflated this attack on Paul Pelosi with January the 6th, with conservative Republicans. I think the president is pushing this nation to a very dangerous point.
Well, that's right. And certainly election integrity is not voter suppression. And he's trying to conflate just because we believe that a vote should matter, that is dangerous when it takes a voter ID, a photo ID in order to get a tattoo, go into a bar, to get on an airplane. I mean, that is very, very reasonable. And he's the one that's actually being very dangerous, as you point out, he and the Democrats, for not decrying true violence that occurred in the summer a while back. And then with Justice Kavanaugh, he doesn't have the Department of Justice out there arresting and prosecuting individuals who are breaking the law and not condemning Chuck Schumer when he openly said and called for violence against the justices and said, you're going to reap the whirlwind if you do this. And that those are truly concerning statements made by Democrats. And yet President Biden chooses not to decry those things. And so that is very, very concerning. But I believe Republicans are going to get out in mass force next week because we recognize that it's President Biden's policies who run this country. We have an open border. We have energy that people can't even afford to put gas in their car anymore. There's record amount of drugs coming across. I mean, you name it, this president and this party has a checklist of how to run America, and they're going down that checklist every day, implementing disastrous policies. And it's up to us as citizens to get out and vote and to take back our country and to stop this train wreck. And I believe the American people will.
Vicki, I want to play. You mentioned something about voter suppression, and the president brought that up last night, saying MAGA Republicans are suppressing vote. I'm going to play two clips. I want to play clip number 5 and number 7. So play clip 5 and then play clip 7.
The extreme MAGA element of the Republican Party, which is a minority of that party, as I said earlier, but is this driving force, is trying to succeed where they failed in 2020, to suppress the right of voters and subvert the electoral system itself. That means denying your right to vote and deciding whether your vote even counts. Once again, we're seeing record turnout all over the country. And that's good. We want Americans to vote.
So how can those two things both be true? If MAGA Republicans are succeeding in suppressing voter turnout, but yet all of the early voting records are being shattered in many places because so many people are voting. So, in fact, in states like Georgia, where he criticized the reform efforts that brought confidence back into the electoral system, how can those two statements be true?
Well, they're not. They're contradictory. As you point out, record amount of people voting shows that there is no voter suppression. And certainly it efforts to try to make sure we have election integrity, such as photo ID, is not suppression. It is safeguarding our democratic process. And like I said, you can't get on an airplane without showing your photo ID. You can't get a tattoo, buy cigarettes as a young person, go into a bar. I mean, it's just commonplace. And so it's laughable that Republican efforts in some states promoting voter ID, he's calling suppression. But as you point out, there is no voter suppression. People are coming out of record amounts, and I believe we will prevail. And if anything, it's the Democrats who are rejecting the outcomes. He likes to talk about Republicans saying, well, they're not accepting the results of elections. Well, look at Stacey Abrams. She still has not conceded her 2018 Georgia governor's race. And here she is running again. And so it's just ridiculous. Like I said, the president is just grasping for straws, trying to come up with something to combat and to cover up the massive failures of his administration, as well as the huge defeats that he is going to see next week.
Vicki, I want to ask you a question. A question I'm asked often is it not frustrating when you hear, you know, the president talking about people who are silent in the face of political violence, you know, people denying the elections? As you just pointed out, Stacey Abrams, she's not alone. I'm going to play a clip a little bit later that even Joe Biden denied the outcome of the 2016 election. But they're saying, they're projecting onto others the very things that they are doing.
Oh, it is very, very frustrating. And the Democrats do that all the time. They blame Republicans for what they're doing themselves. Even now, you know, they're trying to say that Republicans are going to cut Social Security and Medicare. That is an old, old argument Democrats have been using for years. When I was a state representative and running for re-election back in the 90s, my Democratic opponent sent out a flyer saying that I was going to cut Social Security, which is laughable. A state, that's a federal issue. You know, state representatives don't even vote on that. So, like I said, they're just pulling out their old tricks, throwing everything that they can at this electorate and hoping that the American voter will be ill-informed and will buy this the lies. And I'm hopeful that won't happen.
And that's why Washington Watch is here, to shine light on the truth. And that's why we have folks like you on the program. Vicki Hartzer, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Vicki Hartzer from Missouri. Great woman. She's the chair of the Values Action Team, by the way. All right. By the way, election night, we're going to have some coverage live. You want to tune in for that. Coming up next, crime among young people. What's driving it? We're going to talk about it. Don't go away.
Today, finding a trustworthy news source is harder than ever. There are so many news outlets and so much conflicting information, it can be difficult to know who to trust. For this reason, Family Research Council set out to create a solution. The Washington Stand, FRC's online news platform with a mission to provide readers with accurate, free, and relevant news stories and commentaries, all from a biblical worldview. Based in Washington, D.C., the Washington Stand has a team of reporters who provide credible information on the biggest issues of the day. They cover breaking news ranging from what's happening at the Supreme Court to critical public education stories, updates on the state of religious liberty domestically and internationally, and more. The Washington Stand was created to keep you and your family informed on the events that are affecting faith, family, and freedom. So, be encouraged. Stay in the know. And stand firm in truth by visiting WashingtonStand.com today. Again, that's WashingtonStand.com.
Most of us have at least one friend or family member who is pro-choice or have engaged with someone who doesn't share our pro-life views. As Christians, we are called to defend the weak and to speak truth in love. When we advocate for the unborn, we must do so honestly and lovingly. At Family Research Council, we recognize and respect the inherent dignity of every human life, from conception until natural death. The value of human life is not conditional upon its usefulness to others or the state, or an arbitrary evaluation of a person's quality of life. Rather, the value of human life is unconditional because God, the author of life, has created all humans in His image. FRC's Center for Human Dignity exists to give a voice to the voiceless by helping others speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Learn how to address issues like abortion, human trafficking, pornography, and more by accessing our free resources at frc.org/life.
We live in a culture where young men, husbands, and fathers are rarely presented with godly illustrations of manhood. The news, social media, and entertainment often fail to present these examples. That is why Family Research Council created Stand Courageous Men's Ministry. It is led by compassionate leaders who understand the issues of the day and will invest in unpacking a man's role as defenders, providers, instructors, chaplains, and battle buddies so that they can embrace their identity as men and fight the battles every man faces. Learn more at standcourageous.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, let me emphasize, this coming Tuesday is Election Day. As Americans, we have a right to vote. But I believe as Christians, we have a responsibility to vote. And we want to make that as easy as possible for you and helping you understand where the candidates are on the issues. And so we have a voter guide that's available to you. You can it's personalized based upon where you live. All you need to do is text the word guide, G-U-I-D-E, to 67742. You get a link, follow the link over, put in your address, and within seconds, you've got your own personalized voter guide that rates the candidates on the issues that matter. All right, a major policy issue, as we talk about issues in this election, is the uptick in violent crime throughout the country. It's everywhere. We've seen it in the last couple of years. Records have been set in many, many cities of violent crime. And guess what? One of the drivers in this are juveniles. The juvenile crime has been especially destructive. Just one example. Representing this damaging trend in Prince George's County, just outside of Washington, D.C., from August 22nd to September the 8th, all right, that's not that long, juveniles committed 3 murders, 5 other shootings, 6 robberies, and 8 carjackings. Now, many factors contribute to this lawlessness, including lenient prosecutors on the left. We're seeing that all across the country. But as we all know, the root of such behavior begins with the family. Stable families that love, care, and watch over their children are the first defense against lawlessness. I mean, that's why God gave children to parents. They're supposed to train them up in the way they should go. Now, of course, we're seeing government undermining that. And guess what? We're seeing the fruit of it. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Joshua Arnold. He is a staff writer at the Washington Stand who recently covered this issue in an article for the publication. You can find it at TonyPerkins.com. Joshua, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Now, Joshua, your story covered a specific incident that took place right outside the nation's capital, but it's really a national story. This really just kind of illustrates what's happening all across the country. Tell us about it.
That's right, Tony. I live in Prince George's County, and it's really heartbreaking to see this pop up in the local news every day or two, every week at least. There's several murders, but it's not just there. It's in Jackson, Mississippi. It's in Los Angeles, California. You know, big cities, small cities, suburbs, it's happening everywhere. There's almost nowhere in the country that's exempt from this rise in violent crime, particularly among juveniles.
Now, you wrote about this, but even as you were writing about it yesterday, the chief of D.C. held a press conference talking about this and discussing how families need to step in. We have to have families involved. And really at the core of this are our fathers. What are we seeing in terms of a correlation between family structure and the rise in crime?
I guess one encouraging thing we see is that even in liberal places like Washington, D.C. and Prince George's County, the local officials are recognizing the importance of families. The Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrook said, "Where are the parents? Where are the aunties and uncles and the people who should be looking after these children?" But unfortunately, the downside is that we know that's not happening because these kids are out on the streets. We've got 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds that are committing violent crimes. That means there's no oversight at home. And then they're committing those crimes again because there's no discipline in the home. And they're out with, like, pistols in their pants. That doesn't happen when you've got a strong male role model in the home teaching these kids how to resolve their disagreements without resorting to violence and teaching them what it looks like to actually stand up and defend the weak and the vulnerable.
You know, Joshua, I think that is absolutely true, and that's a part of the Stand Courageous message in our men's conferences that we do. If we had fathers in the home that, first off, were in a proper relationship with their Creator and were living out that relationship with the child's mother, with their wife, they would be modeling what is appropriate behavior in being involved. And sometimes it's not just physical absence, there's emotional absence as well. But I've got to push back on these governmental leaders who are now saying, oh, parents have got to step up to the plate. Because in many of these same jurisdictions, and I know that even in your story, you quote some educators that speak into this issue. In many of these same jurisdictions, these schools, for instance, will not tell the parent. They hide from the parent what some of these children are doing at school when it comes to protected areas of gender. So I think there must be a realization that we can't have it both ways. Either parents are going to be responsible and involved in every decision that their children makes in terms of guiding them and directing them, or they're not. I don't think government can have it both ways, protecting those areas that the left wants to have control over, but then holding the parents responsible for the aberrant behavior of kids.
Yeah, exactly. The government needs to support parents in the job of raising their children. And unfortunately, like you said, all too often, the government is on the side of trying to hide these things from the parents.
You know, you finish the story, you start the story about this carjacking that takes place. And then your closing line is, having despised the family, our society must now try young teenagers as adults for murders committed over a bottle of soda. That was the stabbing of a store clerk. It really does come down to the families taking responsibility. And if we don't go back, as you said, supporting the family, we're going to see more of this antisocial, lawless behavior.
Absolutely. And the families need to be proactive as well about making sure that they're actually training up their children in the way that they should go. Like the Bible says in Deuteronomy, you know, teach these things to your children, what is in the Word of God. Parents need to be taking their children to church so that they can hear the Word of God regularly preached. They should be praying with them and teaching them to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely. Joshua Arnold, thanks for being with us. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, and again, you can read that piece. It's very insightful, as he said. It's all across the country. It's not limited. And we didn't get into the fact that in some of these areas, like in Prince George's County, that this is one of the wealthiest areas. So it's not an issue of resources. It really comes back to the family. And so each of us as parents, grandparents, can step in and provide that role. And we also need to push back on the government that is encroaching. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
Given the all-out assault on the American male, it isn't surprising that the family structure is faltering. As a result, many men are frustrated and confused about what a real man is supposed to be. In response, Family Research Council's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and Dr. Keenan Cureton's new book, Strong and Courageous, a sequel to Man, offers a battle plan for men on how to take on their God-given responsibility in a culture swiftly turning away from God's design. The authors present the Old Testament book of Joshua and his leadership as the focus of their study, asking readers to consider the five principles of biblical manhood. Man is provider, instructor, battle buddy, defender, and chaplain. It is time for men to step into their role in the family and society and truly live out their God-given purpose. To purchase your copy of Strong and Courageous, A Call to Biblical Manhood, go to frc.org/strongandcourageous.
Studies show that a majority of Americans believe they hold a biblical worldview, but in reality, most of our friends and neighbors, including those who attend church, don't think about the day's moral and cultural issues through a biblical lens. Christians need to be grounded in the truths of God's Word and be prepared to articulate them in a winsome manner, which is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview was created. The center serves to help Christians understand the importance of Scripture in every aspect of life, why it must be authoritative, and how it can prepare believers to advance and defend faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview has experts that provide research and resources to help believers address our culture's most pressing questions. Access these free resources at frc.org/worldview. See the Worldview Fellows' most recent work by signing up for the newsletter at frc.org/worldview email.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. We're always, always thankful and appreciative that you join us here for Washington Watch. And again, Tuesday, Election Day, we have a resource for you. I know you've heard this, but I'm going to keep saying it all the way through Election Day because it's so important that you vote. And you can share this with your friends. A personalized voter guide, text the word guide, G-U-I-D-E, to 67742. Write that down, 67742. Text the word guide. You'll get a link. You follow the link, put in your address, and it'll be a personalized guide to the candidates. And it rates those candidates based upon where they stand on the issues, a wide variety of issues. So share that with your friends and family, all right? Many people as possible. We want everyone to be equipped and voting. And speaking of voting next week, five states have measures on the ballots. Now, there's many ballot initiatives, but five in particular have measures on their ballots to legalize recreational marijuana. Now, this is not the medical. This is the recreational. Now, I'm opposed to both, but we're talking about recreational. Now, these measures have support with, they've got a lot of big hitters behind them funding this through the kind of what's become an industry. And like they always do, the drug lobby claims legalizing marijuana will provide a tax windfall for states and local governments while ignoring the health and the social detriments that result from drug use and addiction. I mean, I mentioned this at the top of the program. We have Republicans and Democrats decrying what's happening at not so much the Democrats, what's happening at the southern border, but they are talking about the issues we're having with drug addictions and the number of deaths. I mean, one of the leading causes of deaths for those ages 18 to 45 are drug overdoses. But yet we're talking now, and this is a bipartisan effort, of legalizing marijuana, decriminalizing it. Well, joining me now to talk about this is Arkansas State Representative Robin Lundstrom. Arkansas is one of those states that has this referendum on the ballot next Tuesday. Robin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let me just start off. Go ahead.
We've got quite a situation here in Arkansas with this issue. Thank you for covering this.
Why is this the wrong move for Arkansas, in your opinion?
Well, actually, there are quite a few reasons. First of all, this ballot initiative will remove all the THC levels. Right now, if you have medical marijuana, it's 10 milligrams. This is no holds barred. Take off all the THC levels. And then there's a zoning issue. This will remove all the zoning, except for a few. They did leave around churches and daycares and adult daycare facilities. And then they put in this lovely little part where they don't have to follow any laws. The legislature can't set any laws controlling, the local city council can't set any laws, and your local quorum court, your county, can't set any laws controlling this. And they're putting this all in the Constitution. And then, this is quite interesting, no criminal background check for the dispensaries, the growers, or the owners, including foreign ownership, out-of-state ownership, so you don't know who's going to be controlling this. So that's pretty scary in and of itself. And then
so,
finally,
Robin, who's driving this in Arkansas?
Well, actually, it's the owners, the growers, the distributors. It's big money. Let's just call it what it is. It's drug cartels, and it's folks that just want to make a buck off of growing marijuana and selling marijuana recreationally.
Is there concern about, and I saw this back in my home state of Louisiana when I was in the legislature, and the legalization of gambling and the money that that industry drew in, that they would then be using those ill-gotten gains, if you will, to have influence politically?
Oh, I'm sure they will, and they already have. And to top it all off, they even have set their own tax rate inside this ballot initiative, which would go in our Constitution. And they've put in here that where they want the money to go to is to individual police officers as an end of the year stipend. All their advertising is a complete lie. They're saying it's going to go to police departments. It's not going to police departments at all. It's going to individual police officers in an like an over-the-counter bribe. This is an insult to police officers hiding behind the badge. This is ridiculous. And it also says it's going to go to cancer research. There's not going to be enough money left after we pay for all the problems that go along with marijuana. They're taking everything that they didn't get away with in Colorado, and they're doubling down in Arkansas. And what we're asking people is, don't Colorado my Arkansas. This is the wrong thing. And there's actually some Democrats and Republicans that are working against it. It's that bad. Even people that want recreational don't want this.
Very quickly, Robin, we have about 30 seconds left. What are the major harms that you see that this would create for your state?
Actually, this is going to increase the black market in our state. This is going to increase everything that has gone wrong in Colorado. Everything that's going to be, law enforcement's going to have to mop this up on a daily basis. Taking off the THC levels is terrible. No criminal background check. You have to have a criminal background check to do just about to sell real estate, to rent an apartment, but not to sell a drug. Let that sink in. No criminal background check to own a facility. And you can have out-of-state ownership. If you can't pass a criminal background check, what are you hiding?
Yeah, I tell you, this is extremely, extremely dangerous. Robin, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for leading the effort on this. You've been a great conservative leader there in the state of Arkansas. Thanks for taking this battle on as well.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I encourage you to join us live on Tuesday evening for our election coverage. You can find all the details at tonyperkins.com. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.